Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, centered around this wonderful Christmas story. Our second thought from this passage, and then we're going to go ahead and finish our third thought next Sunday. I believe it'll be a great way to end the year. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. As your vessel, I pray that you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Help us to never get over what Jesus has done for us. He loved me, forgave me. My life will never be the same. Thank you, Lord. If anyone doesn't know that love, might that one know that love today through Jesus Christ. Bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we began discussing the announcement of the first Christmas, if you would, to the shepherds. Several references of this wonderful story in Scripture that we could look at, but we chose to investigate the one surrounding the shepherds. The angel made an interesting announcement about what had happened in Bethlehem. The angel said, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We learned last week that the message of Christmas from the Word of God is good tidings for all people. How many of you are glad you're in the all people? Good tidings for all people. Could I say it like this? Good tidings for everybody. Good tidings for anybody, regardless of who you are, where you're from. The message of Christmas centered around the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. And how many of you could admit today we could stand some good news? So it's good tidings for all people. Not every good word is good for everybody. Some good news is only good for the people who wanted that good news to come. But I can tell you, regardless of where you're living or what you're facing or what you're encountering or what you've been through, this message from this Bible about this Jesus is good news for all people. What's the good news? The arrival of Christ, the stated purpose for unto you. He didn't come just for anything. He came for us in the city of David to a specified place in Bethlehem. And he came with salvation's plan. A Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord, Christ the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord, the precious Master, the controlling one. Aren't you glad that born that day wasn't just anybody? It was the Messiah, that promised one, that one that they had looked forward to, that one that they had anticipated, that one who could save the people from their sins. By the way, your neighbors, your family members, your friends, everybody around you, they don't need somebody just to give them money. They don't need somebody just to give them a vaccination. They don't need somebody just to give them a discount. They don't need somebody just to write them a check. Listen to me, the hope for the world is not in winning the lottery, is not in winning the sweepstakes. The hope for the world is in a Savior. That's why it was good news, because lying in that manger was a Savior. The arrival of Christ. This morning, for just a few moments, it's good tidings for all people, not only because the arrival of Christ, but secondly, because of the atonement of the cross. The atonement of the cross. Somebody may be thinking, where in Luke 2 do you see the cross? And while you're thinking that, I'm glad you asked. I want you to look back at Luke chapter 2. For unto you, verse number 11, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you believe that's good news, would you say amen? But look at verse number 12. This is an ironic statement made particularly to the audience that was there, an audience of shepherds. Notice what he said to them, and this shall be a sign unto you. Write down in your notes the atonement of the cross, the instructed sign. Now watch this now. The angel was telling the shepherds that you're going to know that you have found this Savior based on a sign. There is an instructed sign. But then I want you to know, he says, what that sign is. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This instructed sign, listen to me now, would bring about an instinctive symbol. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. There where those shepherds were in the field, their sheep were grazing. If we look in the scripture back in Micah chapter number 4, I'm not going to take you there to turn there, but if you'll look there, Micah gives us a very clear prophecy 700 years before Jesus was born that not only would he be born, but where he would be born. Micah chapter 5 tells us he would be born in Bethlehem, the least of all of the places. But chapter 4 tells us that the Redeemer, the Restorer, and the ruler of Israel who would restore them. You remember the Old Testament? Israel ended with a curse. Malachi ends with the last word being curse. That's bad news. But Micah says the way it ends in the Old Testament is not the way it's going to be forever. God is going to restore the nation of Israel. And according to Micah chapter 4, the Redeemer would come to a specific place. He would come to the Tower of the Flock. We know that to be the words Migdol Eder. Hang on with me for just a moment. Migdol Eder is known as the Tower of the Flock. Not far outside of the outskirts of Bethlehem, there was a tower where shepherds, if you would, could gather from above and watch over their sheep. These sheep were important because when these sheep were born, those male sheep that were without blemish would be selected upon birth. They would be removed from the other sheep because they were perfect lambs. Now watch this now. These lambs were perfect and would be separated from imperfect lambs because they were going to be used for a specific purpose. There at the bottom of Migdol Eder, where the Tower of the Flock was, were stalls where those lambs would be placed in those stalls. They would take those lambs, they would wrap them in swaddling clothes. These rams would be wrapped in swaddling clothes to be protected, to be inspected, to make sure there was no blemish, to make sure there was no flaw. Now, why was it important that these lambs had no blemish and no flaw? Because these very lambs, without blemish, without flaw, that had been inspected, wrapped in swaddling clothes, would be used as paschal lambs in the Passover for sacrifice that would be made once a year. Remember what the Passover was? It was a celebration of God's deliverance of his people out of Egypt. Remember that? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. They would put the blood on the post, and it was a symbol of the blood being shed. When the death angel came to the door, he came to an Egyptian door, there was no blood. The Egyptians didn't know God like the Israelites did, but the Israelites knew God and they symbolized it through blood. By the way, when whether or not you go to heaven won't be based on where you're born or what color you are, God's looking for the blood. Somebody help me. He's looking for the blood. So the Passover lamb would be used once a year as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind, as a sacrifice in celebration of what God had done, my friend, back when he had delivered them out of Egypt. So these priests would take this lamb. This lamb would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. This lamb would be placed in a stall, which could also be a word used for manger. And then those lambs would be delivered up to the city of Jerusalem to be offered as a sacrifice to Almighty God for the sins of man. Now look what the angel said to the shepherd. This shall be a sign unto you. What is the sign? Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The instructed sign, the instinctive symbol, and the important sequence, lying in a manger to be protected, to be inspected, to be delivered, to be sacrificed as an offering for the sins of mankind. Now I'm amazed at this, and I'm wrapping it up, that the wise men had to follow a star to find Jesus because they came from another place and could not locate him without help. There were others who did not know where Jesus was, who would have needed help to find him. But what I find amazing about these shepherds is as immediately after the angels left, that the Bible says in verse number 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Why didn't the shepherds have to be told where to find Jesus? I'll tell you why. They knew where he was based on what the angel said. Those shepherds knew that if Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, there was only one place where people, where things were wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Those shepherds knew what those paschal lambs were. They knew that they were wrapped in swaddling clothes. They knew that those lambs were wrapped in swaddling clothes because they would be offered as a Passover. And when the angel said to them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," you know what those shepherds knew? This isn't just any Savior. This Savior is the Lamb of God. This Savior is wrapped in swaddling clothes because he's a perfect Savior. This lamb is wrapped in swaddling clothes because he's a lamb without blemish and without spot. This lamb is wrapped in swaddling clothes because he's going to be delivered to Jerusalem. This lamb is wrapped in swaddling clothes because the sequence is he's going to be offered. He's going to be offered on a cross. You think these shepherds might have recalled right about now, Isaiah chapter 53, "Who hath believed our report? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." No wonder they ran with haste. Nobody had to tell them. I imagine they dropped their rods and ran right to Migdol Edar, the tower of the flock, that flock that they had been many times, but this time they would not find an animal saying, "Bah." No, my friend, they would find a baby who was the Son of God, who 33 and a half years later would walk up Golgotha Hill, stretch out his arms. Why? He loves me. Stretch out his arms. Why? To forgive me. Stretch out his arms. Why? So that my life would never be the same. Why? That I would know, that I would see, that I would believe that he loves me. My friend, that's what Christmas is all about. It's not just about a crib, but it's about a cross. And the world needs to know that there is a Savior who lights our way, that there is a Savior who sought to seek and save that which was lost. My friend, the world needs some hope. The world needs some joy. That day, lying in that stall, lying in that manger, in a place that the shepherds would instinctively know with a sign like swaddling clothes, was no other than the Savior Christ the Lord. And by the way, it's not ironic that 30 years later, he came walking up to the Jordan River and John the Baptist, his cousin, looked at him and could have called him a whole lot of things. But he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Read your Bible before you crack open those gifts and get caught up in materialism. Read your Bible. You know, materialism is found in Scripture too. You may not think about it like this first Christmas. You say, "Christmas has become so materialized." It was on the first Christmas. Think about it. There was no room for him in the inn. Why? Because the innkeeper was so caught up in making money. Materialism was there on the first Christmas. And 2,000 plus years later, it's still here. While everybody's caught up in making money, you better be caught up in the Lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes that would one day become the Lamb sacrificed on the altar that one day is coming back as the Lion to rule and reign forever. Thank you, Lord. And this should be a sign unto you. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us. And it is good news. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I know what that cross is all about. And I believe. Would you raise your hand all over the building? I'm saved and I know it. God bless you. Put your hands down. Pastor, I need to be reminded around Christmas time of this good news. And sometimes I get caught up in bad news and everything else that's going on. And I miss that without the birth of Christ, we wouldn't have the death of Christ. Thank you for the reminder, Pastor, this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you. Put your hands down. One more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Why don't you bow your head and pray right where you are and trust that God will challenge your heart. You can't think about the cross without thinking about Christmas. That's why he came. He came to die for you and for me. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that it continues to help us to be what we ought to be for you, to do more for your glory. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.